Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to the man whose mother still thinks he should try to get a real job.
Dear folks, I got this great job in a gas station. I don't want to say how much I'm getting, but let's just say it's a lot. I'm enclosing $2.
That's a good boy.
Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
So, you're going to be glad you're hanging out with me, too, because we got our good buddy Tim Berry back on the show for yet another visit. Tim has been an original member of our Brain Trust since the first month of 1998. That's right, folks. In the last millennia, he joined us. And he's been an abiding supporter and resource for us ever since. I don't know what we would do without Tim Berry. He's the president and founder of Palo Alto Software. They make Business Plan Pro. That means he is the world's expert on business planning. He's written all the books, including the Bible on business planning, which is called Hurdle, and the new book, The Business Plan As You Go Plan, The Plan As You Go Business Plan, I should say. And he's our good friend, Tim Berry. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jim. That's a nice introduction.
It's good to have you back, as always, Tim. And we continue to be in your debt for all the great things you've taught us over the years. Tim, one of the things that I know that you do as the world's guru on business planning, you're pulled into a lot of business plan competitions. There's quite a few of these around the world, aren't there? I mean, where different institutions, for example, a college or a university or some other group will have individuals, maybe it's an investment a group will have individuals present their business plans and actually have a competition. And I guess it's one way to find the very best businesses to invest in sometimes, right?
Oh, absolutely. And I'll tell you on this one, Jim, the first of these started at the University of Texas in 1984. So
yeah,
it's that old an idea, but it used to be kind of academic and hypothetical. And what's going on is, last weekend, they awarded more than $1 million in prizes at Rice University.
Wow.
In one of
the
business plan competitions. So, also in Texas, that's right. And there are more of these every day, and the business plans and the teams and the actual businesses aren't academic anymore. We're seeing real businesses growing up and getting themselves started in part through what they win in the business plan contests. I mean, they still have students involved.
Yeah.
But the reality of it, the quality of the teams has just changed through the years where, at Rice last weekend, Brad Burke, who runs that thing, was talking about amazing number, 70% of the companies that participated in the last 3 years or something like that were now up and running, and they had won several hundred million dollars in financing between them, and
so this is not just stuff. This is not just some thing to do to get a grade. 70% of the people who are participating in this thing actually have entrepreneurial fire in their belly.
Oh yes, yeah. Now, one of the things, like just sort of a way to measure this evolution of it is, 2 weeks ago, I was a judge at the University of Oregon contest where they set it into tracks, and they have seating, and they have then they go to the finals and so on. And what was new was in the track where I was a semifinals judge, we saw four companies, listen to their pitch. All four of those look like really viable companies. It used to be if you had one of the
right,
four or five, then wow, one of these is really going to make it, and the rest is students sort of doing an exercise. But we saw four plans of four that, you know, and you have to choose a winner, and
yeah,
we did, and they went into the finals. But, well, it's changed.
Well, what do you think it's changed that much? Has the business planning process improved that much? Or are there more people who are thinking of becoming a business owner? Is that becoming more of an alternative for young people who are coming out of school? What's the reason?
I think there's more focus for more time from more institutions on generating teams, including MBAs, that are actually working on real businesses. Mm-hmm. I think it's the general reputation of these business plan contests and the awareness within faculty and MBA mm-hmm. students.
Well, there's also more curriculum, entrepreneurial curriculum, and actual programs in the colleges and universities today, whereas 30 years ago there were probably none, or very few. Now they're all over the place. Tim, hold on to that thought. Folks, when we come back, I'm going to ask Tim if there is anything, if all of these people who are competing think that they're going to go public, or are some of these people going to become small business owners for the rest of their life and they're cool with that. I'm going to ask Tim about that after these messages. 20Tail, stay with us. Welcome back. It's 17 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Thanks very much for staying with me. My pleasure to continue to be with you. That's Robert Cray bringing us back. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you check it out when you get a chance. You'll find there a peerless, without peer, body of work that Tim Berry has deposited with us over the years, over the last 12-plus years. Tim has been a member of our Brain Trust, a founding member of our Brain Trust. And so I hope you check it out. If you want to find out, folks, if you want to find out how to do a business plan, if you want to find out how to run your business better, how to manage cash flow better, there's a body of work there that Tim has deposited with us that is amazing. And I don't look at the dates, because whatever he said is still valid. So check that out at smallbusinessadvocate.com. And if you are on Twitter and you want to follow me there, I'm at Jim Blassingame. Tim Berry, we're talking about business plans, contests, and so I in a minute I'm going to ask you about the businesses seem to be getting the business ideas and the viability of the businesses that are being proposed in these business plan models seem to be getting better. But in a minute I'm going to ask you, are the business plans getting any better? But before we go there, I want to ask this question, because I promised the audience I would. A lot of times people, if you go to these business plan contests, you think, well, okay, somewhere in here I'm going to see the next Microsoft or the next Apple or the next whatever, the next Starbucks. And they think that that's what the ultimate goal of all of these are. But how many of these people are you seeing that have really good business models? And in meeting them and listening to them, you get the idea that they'd be perfectly happy just growing their business themselves and staying private.
Jim, what do you think? That's almost a leading question towards the next question, but there's an interesting problem there in that these business plan contests are set up to encourage people to present the plan for outside investors.
Which automatically presumes an exit strategy within 5 to 8 years.
Absolutely. So they structurally, systematically undervalue that company that is a great company, and you can see it. They've got a strong product.
Maybe all they want to be is a strong regional company in 10 years.
And maybe all they want to be is healthy, happy, financially doing what they want to do,
yep,
independent.
Yep.
Those companies don't win business plans.
So if you'd be happy being an entrepreneur all your life and running your own business all your life, and handing it on to your children, like somebody else I know in this conversation, and it's not me, folks, not yet anyway. And so, you know, Tim has done this. So anybody who has that on their mind better hide that, hadn't they, in these competitions?
It's ironic. And as a frequent judge of these contests, I really like the opportunity they give us to give the groups feedback afterwards. Why weren't we selected to go to the finals? And I find myself frequently saying, you've got a great business, congratulations, but forget all this crap about investors.
Yeah.
Buckle down and You know, God bless the child that's got his own. You know,
right.
you can do it, but you're not a great investment opportunity.
Well, and see the reason I'm bringing this up, Tim. You know where my heart is. My heart is to the large degree with the people who are never going to be attracting investors, because that's 99.65% of all small businesses.
Absolutely agree with you on that. And you know, it's a shame that the business plan contests we're talking about have gone a different direction, but they do, I said, structurally and systematically.
But is it a disservice to some of those people?
Oh, I think.
Because if they fail, is, and I'm glad you give in the debriefing, I'm glad you tell them that, but I bet you're one of the only people who do that.
I'm in the minority in that.
Because see, you've got all these, there's a lot of people out there especially in the higher, you know, levels, the strata of the marketplace, who think, you know, the only person who's a real entrepreneur is somebody who's planning to go public.
I've had
people to tell me that.
That's true.
For example, Tim, it's just wrong.
For example, Tim,
you and I, in their opinion, you and I are not entrepreneurs.
And that stream tends to be reflected in the business plan contests are set up like that. The judges are told, I mean, that's my role as judge. The judges are told, you are to choose the best investment as if you were a venture capitalist.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's the way it goes, and the best investment wins. And meanwhile, somewhere in the feedback rounds, there are a few people saying, hey, you've got a great business. Don't worry. You're not going to win this contest. But the best revenge is 10 years from now, you're going to own a good, strong business, and you're going to outright own it. You're not going to be negotiating with your investors.
Exactly. You're not going to have any pain in the rear end investors telling you, you're pulling your chains. Exactly.
You won't be asking permission for everything you do from your investors.
So, folks, Tim, as you go through this thing, thank you for being the voice of reason on this. Thank you for telling these young people, you know, hey, don't worry that you didn't win. In fact, you might be better off that you didn't win. I'm glad you said that. So be sure to tell these people this, because that's the thing I try to tell my audience, is that, folks, you know, investors are fine, but they might actually be a detriment to you.
Totally agree.
It's possible. It could be that way. Hold on to that thought, Tim. PaloAlto.com, right?
Yes.
That's the website, bplans.com. Yep. Also, check that out, folks. That's where you can learn all about business planning. Bplans.com. It's a free site. Tim and I will be back in a minute. And when we come back, I'm going to ask that other question about the quality of the business plans. Are they getting any better? And why do we care? Stay with us.
I'm alone in the dark, even though time and time again I see your face.
Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks very much for joining me. Thanks for being part of my day. My pleasure to continue to be with you. Tim Berry is our guest, our good friend, the president and founder of Palo Alto Software. Well, actually, you're not the president anymore, are you, Tim?
Oh, I'm still the president, but the CEO runs it.
I always get confused about that.
Well, it's
a wonderful American small business success story. Your beautiful, incredibly intelligent daughter, Sabrina, is now the CEO. She's running the company.
CEO, she runs it.
Yeah, and doing a great job. But I know you're still hanging around there. And when she needs dad, she calls him in. But you're still the emeritus brains around there.
I'm the chief blogging officer.
There you go. And that's PaloAlto.com. Also. But Tim always likes to tell us about bplans.com, which is something I've been telling you about since January of 2000. I'm sorry, 1998. That's where you go to learn more about being a better business planner. Tim, you got a new book I want you to tell us about.
Sales and Market Forecasting for Entrepreneurs, published by Business Expert Press. It's a small book, easy to read, and it's very much focused on the practical.
And on forecasting in a way that makes sense, not in a way that makes you happy.
Absolutely. We're not talking about double variate deep regressions, multilinear. We're talking about common sense, break it down into variables, and use a forecast to help run your business, and that's the only reason you forecast.
How do we find that book?
Amazon, I guess, would be the first place. Search for Tim Berry, Business Expert Press, Sales Forecasting, and comes up pretty quickly on the websites at Amazon, Barnes & Noble.
One of the best things I ever learned when I was with Sears and Xerox was how to forecast sales. Folks,
yeah,
we need it.
If we're running real businesses, we need it,
it's
and everybody kind of dreads it.
Tim thinks it's a boring subject, but I'll tell you what, folks, it's critical to your success, and I believe you will find what you need to learn how to do that in plain English in Tim's book, so check it out when you get a chance.
It's a very small book. It's the smallest book I've ever written by several measures.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so check it out, folks. That means it won't take you long to go through it.
Yeah.
Hey, Tim, as these business planning contests have gotten more sophisticated and more widespread and gotten more attention and you know, we're seeing more, you said earlier, 70% of the people who go through these things wind up having really good business models and go into business. But have the business plans themselves gotten any better?
Jim, I'm disappointed with one element of the business plans. The businesses are better, so the business plans, in the sense they're describing something real, the management teams, the product market fit, and so on, they're really smart people dedicating a lot of effort on this, so they tend to look better. But damn, I hate these stupid financials where somebody tells them, well, if you're going to get investment, you have to give a 10x ROI and IRR to the investors.
Oh, no.
So they go into the spreadsheet, and as if it were just a knob, so they turn the sales forecast way
up. Like they're printing Monopoly money.
Yeah, and the profitability way up. And I'm just so tired of seeing plans that are projecting, 10, 20, 50 times more than they're really
going
to get.
They still think it's 1998 or something?
Yeah, well, it's crazy. And then we'll get the plans where they're going to get 50, 60, 70% profit on sales.
Oh, no.
Nobody gets that.
Nobody does. Not even drug dealers get that.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, it's just crazy. But I think they're being told, well, we have to project a good ROI for investors.
But it's because, Tim,
I mean, it's
because they don't have any basis in reality. Their basis, a lot of these people, their basis is academic.
In many cases, it's just turn the spreadsheet up, which means there's two conclusions, of course. One is it's the easiest part of the plan to correct. So I find myself afterwards saying, hey, your plan is great, your business is great, but your financials suck. And don't worry, it only takes 2 hours to do the financials well.
But Tim, wouldn't the best way to fix that is to tell them, in the contest specifications, you say, okay, when you bring your projections, make sure you bring one projection that is your break-even projection. And if you have that, that shows the other one, shows how out of control the other one is.
Yeah, and they should prepare them better, because we're supposed to think like investors. And as you as I know from this show, I am an investor now another thing that I do. Investors are not impressed by fake numbers. You stop looking.
Folks, write that down. That's going to be on the test. Hey, Tim, thanks for being here. By the way, if you get Tim's new book, you won't make that mistake those guys make. Right, Tim?
Well, yeah.
Hey, Tim, thanks for being here. Good job today.
Thank you, Jim.
See you next
time.
Tim Berry, ladies and gentlemen, he's the best. I got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, reminding you to always seek excellence, not perfection.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.